Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you have been to the movies.
I have. It's true. Pretty much every week.
I know. It's your...
Sometimes more than once.
It's your jam. So I was perusing the movies that came out in the past 2 weeks.
Right.
And none of them really jumped out at me. Now, I'm sure you saw Charlie's Angels.
I didn't, and neither did anyone else.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That movie has tanked hard if you have not looked at the estimates. And I can't imagine that they're going to be like $20, $30 million off. Like,
so it opened to $8
million? The one I read was $9, but honest to goodness, that's not going to make any difference. Like a $9 million opening would have been barely acceptable in like 1986.
Yeah.
Like, I think Back to the Future opened to $15 million in 1985. If that gives you an idea of how bad that opening is for a film in the year 2019.
So, seeing as you didn't see Charlie's Angels and it opened so poorly, there is a part of me that wants to know how bad in how many ways is this movie? I could tell it was bad from the trailer, but...
Now,
there's a special quality of badness.
In all fairness, the other two Charlie's Angels movies from...
were awful.
But what was it like? Not quite 20 years ago, but like 15, 20 years ago, the ones that had, Drew Barrymore
and Lucy Liu.
Cameron Diaz,
yeah,
directed by McG.
Terrible.
Yeah, like I really didn't understand why anybody decided
that
or thought.
A sequel.
Yeah, like after Full Throttle, like, tanked at the box office, I really figured everybody
but
was just like...
it didn't tank like this.
No. I mean, it just did poorly.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, like I said, a $9 million. That's a figure that a lot of movies make on like their opening Friday.
This is a figure. This is why the word abysmal exists.
Oh yeah, like this. Somebody lost their job. Like, because of that opening, somebody undoubtedly got fired. Somebody from marketing, like one of the producer, somebody is in such severe trouble, like they're looking for a new job tomorrow morning.
Mm. And I feel bad for them because I'm sure that there were people on the film who all did fine work.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying, like, it's not the guy in craft services.
Yeah.
Like, this was not his fault. But like somewhere, somebody did not analyze the right thing and they were just like, yes, we need Charlie's Angels.
And these are the angels we need. It's like, I do not need any of them.
Nope. None
not
of it.
At all.
Now, on the flip side of that, the Joker just passed the $1 billion mark and is the most profitable comic book film of all time.
And is it not the most profitable R-rated film of all time?
I'm not sure if it's the most profitable, but I would assume with that budget, like the
it is. Okay.
Okay.
I get it.
All right. Well, I was making sure. I don't want to confirm things that I don't have. I mean,
why so serious?
I know it was cheaper than The Matrix Reloaded, and I know that made a bucket load of money. And I figured it was probably cheaper than Beverly Hills Cop, which as far as I know was the near it that or maybe The Hangover was probably the next highest grossing like R-rated movie.
Mm. Anyway.
But anyways, yeah, like when you cost, what was that thing, like $60 million and you make $1 billion? Like it's made as much as Dark Knight did.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs probably roughly $100 million less than Dark Knight did.
Right. But we're actually going to review a movie that is current that you've seen. I know we haven't, and so we'll say it now. This is all brought to you by the Hintz and Oakley Family Dentistry. This is Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens talking movies with parental guidance suggested. And we're talking Mr. Sleep, Dr. Sleep, Ed.
Dr. Sleep.
Mr. Ed?
He went to
Doctor Who.
8 years of medical school. Let's not disrespect that.
Dr. Sleep. Let me tell you what I know about this movie.
Dr. Sleep.
Nothing.
It is... this is kind of a weird position to be in as a sequel.
It's a sequel?
It's a sequel to The Shining.
Really?
Yeah, that Shining. Like here's Johnny. Like
which ends with him in the snow and the grinning.
Yeah, well, it's not. Jack Nicholson is not in the movie. Like, it's the Danny Torrance, the one that's riding around on the the little tricycle.
Uh-huh.
Like in it. This
red
is
rum,
actually
red rum, red rum.
This is actually adult him.
Okay.
That Ewan McGregor plays.
Really? I would not have seen that coming.
Now, it's not a direct sequel to The Shining, the movie, but it's based on the book that Stephen King wrote as a follow-up to The Shining.
Okay.
But you can tell that you can't have a movie like The Shining not influence a film sequel. It's like whenever they did Return to Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Disney did that back in the 80s, like, they were not making a sequel to the MGM movie from
1939.
Right, I was going to say 40 years prior. Mm-hmm. But you can't have a film that is that kind of magnanimous and like popularized it and not in some way kind of pay homage or reference to it. So they had the ruby slippers in that, despite the fact that they were doing it off the books. And in the books, the slippers are not red. They're not ruby slippers.
And honestly, the books, radically different.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I did not care for the books because I read them as a child and I'd seen The Wizard of Oz as a child. And it's like, I like this world. I like that world.
Well, and I mean, honestly, when I say The Wizard of
Oz,
no disrespect to L. Frank Baum, I think most of us do think of the Judy Garland musical.
Yeah.
And in so much as that, like The Shining, the movie, is not a like direct adaptation. Like they take a lot of liberties.
The Shining.
They take a lot of liberties with that to the point that like Stephen King is actually not a big fan of The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, one way or the other, he still gets his check whether or not he likes the adaptation.
So this is Dr. Sleep. It's Red Rum is older, and so he talks and puts people to sleep. He helps them get a better sleep. Is his last name now Sleep?
No. And it's actually only a nickname that's used like once in passing in the film. But like he is not a malevolent like person. Like whenever he does it, like he is he's had problems with like alcoholism in his life.
I don't know
like why. Apparently,
having your dad be psychotic could kind of mess you up.
And not like a little psychotic either. Like it wasn't like a dab. It wasn't like a sprinkling of it. Like it was Jack Nicholson like on cocaine crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dealing with a lot of that, and he works one of his jobs at some kind of a facility like almost like a hospice for like elderly people that are very near like the end of their lives. And he uses his ability, his shining, to do that. And like, and whenever he recognizes that they are going to pass, like he'll try to like ease their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll use his ability to make sure that whenever they do pass on, like it's not in a painful or terrible way. And he makes sure that, you know, they're comfortable, they're calm. In so much as you can have like, I'm going to call it a superpower because it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing as much good as he can with that ability.
Okay.
However, there is a group of people that have learned to take advantage of people with the abilities, more or less the ones that were kind of explained or used to great effect in the movie The Shining. Think about it like if they were the evil X-Men, like in the movie The X-Men, like Charles Xavier's going to people and he's like, my name's Charles Xavier. I've got this school. I want to take your kids. Want to show them how to use their power for the betterment of mankind. Okay. Is that cool? Can we do that? That'd be great. Like very good guy. Charles Xavier, stand up guy. These people are not. Rosie the Hat is their leader, played by, if you remember the actress from Mission Impossible, the more recent one that is kind of Ethan Hunt's love interest and is also she is playing a very excellent turn, honestly, as a villain in this film. This film right here is the way that you do a Stephen King adaptation. Like I saw It Chapter 2 very, very recently. And honestly, I mean, it was just bloated. It was full of special effects that were unnecessary. The film ran almost 3 hours. Like, I was exhausted about halfway into the movie. The performances were solid at best.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you had quite, like, Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, like, you had a talented cast of actors and actresses that I never really thought they ever took full advantage of. This film has barely any special effects. And if they are, a lot of them are practical, and they're not the showy ones. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when, like in literally probably any Steven Spielberg movie, those ones that just catch your eye that, like, you talk about later, like the first time you saw Star Wars in 1977 and you're like, holy cow, look at that starship.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any of those. Like, honest to goodness, the people's performances are this special effect in this movie. And as a result, like, it's that much more powerful. It's not a bunch of jump scares. It's not a scary clown. It's not a lot of gore. Like, they start getting into your head psychologically in this movie.
So is this an R or a
PG? Yes, it's an R. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So worth seeing.
I do not understand why this film is not doing better. Like, it was predicted, I think, to make somewhere between, like, I want to say $24 to $30 million, and it opened to $14 million. One of the best Stephen King adaptations, like, I've seen. Like, the film is just genuinely entertaining. It does enough to kind of tip its hat to the original film that it's not exactly a sequel to, but it's a very satisfying to the, in the same way that, like, you can have seen that movie or not have seen that movie. And honestly, I think you're still filled in by enough of it. But the film itself, like I said, is a very effective kind of thriller in the way that, like, it's not a cheap scare. Like, it's not because, like, you know, I have, like, you know, pus running out of this or I'm bleeding or I'm saying, you know, those kind of
yes.
horror films.
Okay, so that's a good one.
Yeah.
And you saw, based on a true story, not Dr. Sleep, but Ford versus Ferrari.
Right. And it's not the cars transforming and fighting each other, like, via Batman versus Superman.
Now
which is surprising. I assume that was the film I was going in to see. They do not transform. It is actually more of a biopic.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's Matt Damon and
Christian Bale.
Yes.
In a very un-Batman role. Like, I sometimes...
Is it more Newsies?
No. There's not a lot of singing or dancing or jazz handing. In this movie. I don't think there's any jazz hands in this movie.
That's a shame, because jazz hands just lends itself to so many things.
Matt Damon and Christian Bale, both of them giving pretty spectacular performances, directed by James Mangold, who did Walk the Line, did Logan, did The Wolverine. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, the guy knows how to direct. Like, I know exactly negative 10 things about Cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really could have just been making things up in this movie, and I would be none the wiser. Like, I'm just like, oh, brakes. Yeah. Okay.
So, I only read a little bit about it, but it's these guys join forces because they're making some sort of car with Ford to compete against Ferrari in what medium? Is it for a show? Is it for a race? Is it
It's a 24-hour like race, and
okay.
traditionally it's dominated by Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know, it's from, you know, overseas. Like, they've perfected it in the same way that, like, Italy has perfected, like, you know, spaghetti and pizza, like. And basically,
yeah, Adam, didn't you say that Marco Polo was the one you brought?
Yeah, sure. All right, whatever. Because that's what this podcast is about. essentially, what they're wanting to do, Lee Iacocca is the
who plays Lee Iacocca?
The Punisher, whose name I cannot.
Oh, that
remember.
Guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, from The Punisher on Netflix.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That guy.
Not Dolph Lundgren. Like,
so
not,
he's like a beefy, attractive Lee Iacocca.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. wearing a suit most of the time.
Huh.
Like, he's not ever just like, oh, guys, it's hot in this meeting. I'm going to have to They're like, whoa, what's going on? Pretty high on coke. And he's like, it's hot. I'm just saying. No, that does not happen in this film.
Too bad.
But basically, like, he's convincing them. They're saying, you know, like, why is this not selling better? Why are we not doing better? Like, why are we in a downward slump? And he's like, because you're making your dad's car. You know, you're making your grandpa's car. Like, the teenagers today or, like, college students today, like, that's not the car they want. Like, they want, you know, this car. And, like, they show a picture of, like, Sean Connery in an Aston Martin. They're mm-hmm. like, they want cars that, you know, are spectacular. They want ones that, you know, have this. And he's like, that's not, you know, the four-door, like, family sedan. And basically, he's like, we need to have a car that's kind of got almost a sex appeal, like, to it. And that's when he starts suggesting, he's like, we've got the 24-hour, like, Le Mans here. If we can get a car in there, like, no American-made car has ever won this. If we can get in there, we can win this. Like, people can have a piece of that win. They can own a piece of that whenever they drive that. So, like, he eventually kind of convinces them to try to enter into that arena. And at one point, like, Ford even makes a bid to purchase Ferrari. However, there's some insulting there, and the owner of Ferrari basically says
That's a no good.
He doesn't say that. He uses actual Italian. But more or less, like, he's...
Hey, Luigi, did you hear that? No good.
I think there is a Luigi in there, but it's not Mario Brothers-esque in the way that they're talking to each other.
All right.
More or less, like, starts insulting Henry Ford's son, who is now the head of the company. And basically, it turns into a couple of rich guys, like, having a pissing contest. And he said, whatever amount of money you need, whatever you've got to hire, whoever you've got to get, we are going to go there, and I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to bury him 6 feet under the finish line. Like, and like...
And then it's just like an A-team montage of building cars and testing. And
well, they get Matt Damon.
There's a montage,
playing.
Is there a montage?
I want to say there is.
There has to be a montage.
There's a montage somewhere.
It's calling out for one.
But basically, they've got 3 months to, like, redesign. I think it's the Mustang is the thing that's just launched. But basically, they've said, whatever kind of resources you need at Ford, you take
those.
So
this takes place in the 60s.
Yes, okay. Yes. Like, Matt Damon is kind of the designer of these cars. And, like, he's the one that they hire. And he's telling them, I need this guy. I need this guy to be the driver. He understands, like, we've worked together numerous times. This is the guy I need. But he is not what I'm going to call easy to deal with. Like, doesn't bite his lip whenever it comes to mouthing off to people. Like, just.
So it's completely out of character to cast Christian Bale in this part.
If anybody heard the recording he
that's
did.
That's all I can think of.
Anybody heard the recording he did in Terminator Salvation when, like, he blasts, like, the guy holding the macro and he's like, no, no. That is unprofessional. No, you stop. Like, it's that Christian Bale, like, that's doing it. Like,
he
telling people, like, you can kiss this, you know, you can do this, that, and the other. Like, and it's like, who are you again? And he's like, I'm the vice president in charge of, like, just somebody you really should not say that to, especially if you're about to be working for, like, the Ford Motor Company. Mm-hmm. Gives it just a spectacular, like, performance. And Matt Damon is kind of acting as his handler, just being like, all right, listen, you've got to play the game a little, just a little, okay? I need you here, all right? Understand that. But that guy over there that's the vice president of this, he doesn't like you, and he has to like you just a little, or maybe not even a lot, okay? Like, there's a lot of interplay between those two characters that almost has a Mathau and Lemon quality to it, just on the way the two bicker back and forth. And it's more their chemistry is kind of the backbone of the movie.
So did you enjoy it?
Yes. And like I said, coming from somebody that knows 0% about cars. Like, what did I say earlier? Negative 10 things about cars. It's kind of like me watching a sports movie. If you can engage me enough, because, like, I don't watch professional sports. I have no interest.
Are you sure? Because that's a surprise.
It if you've ever talked to me for more than 3 minutes, it's not. I don't even like Quidditch. Okay, like I don't even like fake sports. Like when it gets to that in the Harry Potter movies, I'm just like, ugh. Can we skip this scene?
Sports. Mm.
Stupid. I don't want to watch like broom soccer. Jeez.
Broom soccer.
Like when we in episode one, I was like, I don't want to watch space NASCAR. Get this garbage out of my face. Like, if you will find it engaging, compelling, and just like narratively interesting way, like I'll watch it, even if I don't have a particular interest in, say, cars myself. The film, it's about two and a half hours, does not feel like it. Very well put together film, strong performances, another excellent bit of direction from James Mangold. Like, honestly, both of these films, however disparate they are from each other, like, both were very entertaining about vastly different subjects.
All right, so worth seeing, Dr. Sleep, Ford versus Ferrari, and I'm telling you now, you are seeing Frozen Part 2.
I assumed I was.
Yes.
Lauren informed me
yes.
of it as well. So I kind of knew there was no way I was going to get out of that.
Yes. So don't come back talking about some movie with a weird name that I've never heard of, because this is Frozen 2.
Well, this is the week. Time. This is the period of time that you and I have been talking about
finally.
Since probably, I'd say, Hobbs and Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to that point where we're in the holiday
yes.
movie season. And if we're not going to have one like every week, you're at least going to have some of those stronger drops like Frozen 2. What is it? There's something that actually comes out on Christmas Day. I mean, we're about to have some very strong.
Wicked, the movie.
Is that what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay.
But it comes out before Christmas on the 20th, unless they've changed it. Wicked.
Oh,
the movie.
And there's that one Star Wars movie. That's
oh,
coming
yeah,
out
there's
too.
That one too.
That's it's gonna make yeah. some dollars, I think.
A few. And there are others. Wicked. Some of us have been waiting for Wicked the movie for several years. I can see you aren't one of them.
What
and
if,
yet.
What if I'm good at containing my excitement?
And yet. Can't wait. For that. So, I'm pretty excited about it. Though I haven't seen any trailers, and now that bothers me. Makes me wonder if they've changed the timeline.
You huh. know what? You know what the trailer is probably better than? The trailer for Cats. Oh, wow. What a weird.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's so weird. Like, I almost think it was put together by Saturday Night Live as a movie that...
It's going to be memorable.
Oh, it's for some reason, yeah, it will.
I have a friend who I think is wonderful, and she has been not in a starring role, but she has been in many Broadway shows, and that's her job. She works all these shows, and she travels. So she's in the national touring company of Cats right now. And I tried to show this movie to Anna Grace, who loves all things musicals. And I remember when Cats came out, but I'd never seen it. And we could not get through it. Now, I told her, I said, there is this one song that is extraordinary. It's just an amazing, amazing song. You know, just chilling to hear this song when, of course, it's done well. But the rest of it is just...
I'm going to just put this out there. Jokingly, a friend of mine and I, because we were certain that we were going to end up in the junior ROTC class that didn't end up making, put down Dance 2 as our alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where you went.
That's where we ended up because they didn't have enough for the junior ROTC class our senior year. So we ended up in a dance class. And they were all about some Cats. And over the course of a week, we got to see like a filmed version of one of the stage productions. And let me just say, like, I've seen a lot of plays live. Seen Phantom of the Opera, saw Rent, Beauty and the Beast. I've seen several plays. I don't think I could do that one live. The only way I made it through it was I slept during class. And we got to do it over the course of a week.
Wow.
I don't know if I could have digested that all in one sitting.
Now, the costumes are extraordinary, and my friend Charlotte, I mean, they don't have a makeup artist come in. All of the cats themselves, I don't know about the leads, but yeah, because she's dating the lead guy. I don't know who the lead guy is in the... Anyway, they do all their own makeup. It's extraordinary. It's beautiful. The dances are great. I find it so boring, but I'm very excited for her. But... I am not excited about that movie.
I don't like the play. I don't like the movie. You're right.
But that one song.
It's not Memories, is it?
It's that one. I forgot what it's called. Maybe it is Memory.
Maybe it's Memory.
Like, yeah. It's extraordinary. I could sing it badly for you, but it is. It's one of those. Amazing songs, and the rest of them are not.
I'm not even opposed to musicals, but I just this did not connect with me in any way.
However, this does have Gandalf in it, and so therefore I'm going to have to watch it.
I was waiting for you, and so will you, Adam. I'll have to check.
That's implied.
I have to check Run-P and just see when Ian McKellen shows up, and I'll just be like, all right, yeah, guys, I need one for cats. And they'll be like, sir, it's been on for an hour and 37 minutes. I go, yeah, I just got to catch Gandalf. That's all. And they're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, don't, it's not worth it. I needed to go see Gandalf.
That's really all I needed. Anyway, go and see, I was going to say Fast and Furious Ferrari, but it's not called that. It's called Ford versus Ferrari.
And Dr. Sleep. Honest to goodness, both films, very disparate subjects. Well worth watching.
Are there cats in either one of the movies?
There is a cat in Dr. Sleep, but it doesn't sing and it's not Jellicle.
Okay. That's all we need to know. And again, I am so proud and love my friend Charlotte. I can't imagine having
love and appreciation for a person doesn't have to have anything to do with what they do.
And yet, there's a part of me that goes, every night you've got to... do that.
You know, there's things I do all the time that I don't want to.
All right.
But I know that there's a paycheck that's going to be delivered into my bank account.
Okay.
And it makes it all worth it.
Well, it makes her happy and that makes me happy. So there you have it. And thanks so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.